I think for me, it was like the only good way to smoke hash back in the day. I still feel like it's the best way. But back like when I first started smoking hash in like 2010, 11, like, man, like dabs just because I tried hot knives with my uncle and shit, you know, tried all that traditional ways that people show you how to rip some bubble hash or whatever. And then started trying dabs around 2010 and 11. And then I was like, whoa, dude, dabs are way sicker than bong rips. At least that's what I thought back then. I still think that, but it's just because I suck at ripping bongs, dude.
What?
I'm not good at it. I can't take big bong rips. I was able to like rip the 13 footer and clear like a big bowl, but I think that it was smooth because the smoke had to travel so far before it got to me that like I was like, whoa, I can rip bongs. But if I sat there and ripped like a 16 inch like sovereignty or something, I'd probably throw up just because I suck at it. I don't know why it chokes me up so bad. Doesn't matter if it's the best flower in the world and the best tube. Like, flower chokes me the fuck up like that. I'll smoke joints all day. Like, just keep burning them down. But big bong rips, like, I don't know, it fries my throat. And I feel like I licked, like, blacktop or something, dude. I don't know how to explain it. I'm just bad at it. I'm convinced it's not the weed or the bong. It's user error. I'm just bad at it, dude. So I smoke hash.
You're just not built for bongs.
No bong way, rips. Man. I'll make a big bong, though. I'm determined to make the largest world record bong, but definitely not good at smoking them. All right, sweet. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 167 of the podcast. We got a fun one today. We got my friend Jack here.
What up?
Jack's been helping us a bunch around the shop with streaming and different content stuff and working on a bunch of different fun projects. And Jack's going to give us the ability to share a lot of these cool things that we do here that oftentimes you just see a quick little Instagram clip and I never say anything again. We're going to start being able to share a lot more cool things we're doing because of him. On today's episode, we're going to be smoking clear pieces, a bunch of different hash, and talking about the upcoming clear drop and looking at the Puffco pivot top and also talking about the 13 footer and our plans for how we're going to film that and what we're going to do. So
30 footer,
that's right, sorry,
a little bit bigger.
13 footer was the last done one that. Thank that's you Jack now. Fuck, dude, yeah, 30 footer kind of gives me anxiety thinking about it. Things so fucking
it makes
huge.
My hands sweaty too,
dude. It's crazy.
Yesterday Evan had me help him move it and I was not ready for that. Yeah, I was, dude, like, oh shit, I'm putting,
oh, if you're here, if you're here I'm gonna put you to work on some things. I'm like, dude, help us with this, or let's do this.
Yeah,
like,
no, I was very honored.
Yeah, I'm smoking on some Dolly right here from Green Dot. This is like the best batch of it they've ever had. It's super, super juicy. When I say juicy, it's not just the terp, but it's also the consistency of it is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Dude, look at that thing spin. So fun.
Whoa.
I gotta get me one of those things.
Oh, dude, we'll get you one. We'll give you one.
Is there a name? Do you have a name? Is that like a...
This is a...
Like a gear spinner?
That, I think, yeah, they called it the gear.
The gear? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what there... It was an Evan Shore thing. That. They might even still do it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that thing's badass.
But it holds the hash around it really well because of its shape. So that, like... I mean, obviously, if you pulled super hard on it, you still will have... With this style now, you could pull hash into the neck.
Mm-hmm.
The blenders are definitely... They call them Slurpees, but like, you know, this style setup of now, inherently, if you pull too hard, you'll probably get some hash on the neck. Whereas like the ones where you put like the marble in the top, it's kind of like a splash guard, or if you have something that's a little bubble. But man, yeah, that insert, it works super, super well. I wonder if he still does those. Oh my gosh, that was powerful. On the 10 mil, double diffused halo. Oh, wow. Yeah, so... The 30 footer, we were thinking about filming it today actually, but the weather is just not right and it's a safety thing. A few days ago, Jack was here and Pat and we were all like assembling this piece outside using like a 10 foot step ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And we only put the two sections together. We didn't even put the top on with the shower head brick in it. And we put those two sections together, the little bit of wind that was happening, the thing was swaying so crazy just from
super sketchy
when it was 25 feet tall. So I was like, oh man, at 30 foot tall with the extra weight of that shower head perk and water way up high, this thing might be like moving dangerously, like in a way where it might break and fall. And I don't want anyone under that when that happens. So we're going to wait for a day with a little bit better weather. Also, too, because if we're up on a scissor lift 40 or 30 feet in the air or whatever, that could be dangerous, like just with high wind, because they're not really designed for that, you know? So we're going to be patient. We're going to take our time, do it right, do it safe. And so we can do the best shot possible, because we might only have one shot at this. It might break in the process. Something crazy might happen. The, you know, someone with authority might tell me, hey, you can't do that here. And I'll go, okay, do what? Like, what we're not doing? What pipe? What pipe? You mean this structural object? This couldn't possibly be a bong. I think that this thing is big enough where I could argue with someone that it's not paraphernalia. I'd be like, I'm trying to clean it out. There's smoke stuck inside of it, and it's going to stain the glass. How do you expect to clean this out?
This is for my...
I need to get up to the top of this damn thing, clean it out. I'm essentially a chimney. What's a chimney sweep? What's the name of the profession? Is that
HVAC?
What it was? Well,
like
I'm talking
modern version.
I pictured myself much more covered in soot with a fun hat. And, okay. You know, cleaning people's chimneys, but
some sort of like super long Q-tip.
Yeah, very long. Yeah, exactly. Either way, I think that this bong is big enough to argue with someone that it's not actually paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Because it's much too big. Like, there's got to be a scale, like at which where. It's not a pipe. It's
reaching a different classification for sure.
Yeah. Like that, exactly. Just like an apple is not a pipe unless you turn it into one. Like that's
sure.
You know, I'm just saying, like, it's so big. And maybe it just needs those holes there so you can clean it. Maybe it's a pressure thing. I don't know how it works. I'm not a scientist, dude, or am I? I made a venturi pump this morning. I was showing these guys before the podcast. Pretty cool. Because we were thinking smoking the 13 footer is a nightmare. And then now we made a 30 footer with a shower head in the top of it. So it's like going to be double, triple the nightmare even. And I'm like, maybe we might want some assistance.
Might need a little help.
So I made a venturi pump setup that I hope works. It's cooling right now so I can test it after the podcast. But essentially, reverse the flow on a shop vac, and you hook the shop vac to one end of this contraption I made. And then this thing also has a line that comes off it that connects to all the different like nails and Puffco peaks that I want to put on, because I basically want to like have everything connected. This is once lit to just fill it with smoke, and then the vacuum in theory will push air and smoke through the piece, assisting the water stacking and the smoke and filling the piece immediately and making it just like this huge smoke chimney that I get to just pull on and not even like kill myself pulling on it hard. I'll be able to like just take an enjoyable 30 foot bong rip, you know what I mean? I also want to try raw dogging it too, obviously. Like, you know,
see how it goes.
I want to see how it goes, but
see if
I also
got
don't
dog in you.
Exactly, dude. But I also don't want to hype up this whole thing and then have my limited human body be able to actually
smoke halfway up the bong,
yeah,
and then you pass out.
Exactly, and then it just never makes it to me. Like, no, we need to turbocharge it just in case. So I made a thing, and we'll see if it works after the podcast. I'm going to test it.
The adapter that you're planning on making, to me, that's almost as exciting as the 30-foot bong. I just can't wait to see.
You could put it on anything.
Yeah, that's exciting.
With a 19-mil joint, dude, fucking, or 18-mil joint. Put it on there, dude.
But just the idea of having, like, four Puffcos and bowls and bangers locked on.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
It's just pretty exciting too.
Oh yeah. Like the plan is 3 to 4 Puffco Peak Pros with 3D XL chambers. Then that giant Evan Shore nail with the carb cap that you can put a Puffco proxy in.
Yeah.
And then probably like another joint for another big nail that I have. I'm going to find a balance for it. But either way, if like, especially if this venturi pump works, then that whole system will be turbocharged as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it will make all those things rage. Like, it'll make the pearls spin so fast.
You'll be able to do the biggest, fastest dab.
Bro, it will, like, milk it instantly. And then if I take my... Well, here's the thing. I'm going to run an extension cord up to the top of the scissor lift, like, 30 feet up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a foot pedal up there that I can turn the vacuum on and off with my
foot. Super
smart. So I can control it like while I'm smoking.
That's
it.
Badass.
So like it's a fully automated bong, dude. Like it's electric, dude.
It's electric.
Button. You get it, dude. I love that song, bro. But either way, you fucking hit the foot pedal and then you clear it. And if you don't want it to keep blasting smoke up, you can hit the foot pedal and turn it off for a second. In theory, I'm going to test it today with the foot pedal and everything at some point.
So you're making the adapter today then?
I made the venturi pump.
You have
so
the
here's
pump.
The thing. I made that venturi pump and I put a 14 mil joint off it. Okay. I'm going to put a large nail on it with the Puffco proxy and all that and put it on the 13-foot bomb and test to make sure that it actually creates a vacuum pulling through the nail and the Puffco proxy.
Smart.
Because before I make this crazy thing that attaches to the Venturi pump with all the different like peak attachments and nails and this and that, I want to make sure the concept's going to work first. Because if it works with one nail, it's going to work with a bunch of other shit too. Mm-hmm. So that's why I made it in a simplified version, and then I'll modify it if the concept works to be the finished thing.
I heard you guys talking about a ball valve. Yeah, are you gonna be doing that?
No,
because that would like that provides like a one way airflow.
Yeah, right? it would essentially like it would stop the smoke coming from the actual like nails and Puffcos if the ball valve was there, because the vacuum pushing in would push that ball valve back and then it would bypass it, and then I would have to be able to pull harder than the vacuum in order to bring the ball out of where it's seated into because of the vacuum pushing it. So no ball valve. A Venturi pump does not use a ball valve. Venturi pump uses like going from large chamber to small chamber to large chamber.
The valve valve.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it makes it so that like if you have a higher if you have
not yet.
Oh fuck, Jack.
Yeah, Evan, I'm not even high yet.
Fuck, dude.
What the hell?
I'm sorry, guys. So we're talking fucking bongs and science over here.
Take your time.
I would have learned so much more in school if they would have just explained it like this, dude.
Or if we could do dabs between periods.
I don't think I was ready for dabs in high school. Yeah, me kinda, but either way, dude, I wish.
I don't know, dude. I feel like I would have focused a little more with a little bit of cannabis in my life in high school.
Yeah, maybe. I think I would have been, quality of life might have been better. Maybe I wouldn't have been so like feeling bad for myself, you know, being all bummed out and being a teenager. But I didn't smoke weed till I was like 18 or 19.
Same, dude.
So I was coming out of my teenage years. I was out of high school when I tried weed.
Same. I was kind of like you, where I was like, while I was in high school, I was kind of like, that's not for me. Like, that's not cool. Like,
that's how I felt. I
judged a little bit.
My dad smoked a lot of weed, so I was like, my dad smokes plenty for all of us. I don't even need to smoke weed. My dad does.
Interesting. So my dad was like a closet stoner. I didn't know he smoked weed until I was like much older. But he had been smoking weed my whole life without me knowing, basically.
I didn't think anything bad about weed, but I definitely was in like DARE program shit in school growing up in the 90s. So I had this like underlying thing where I was like scared of any drug, you know? So I was like, and like even to this day, like the only thing, I don't even really drink. I will, like, I'll definitely go have a beer with friends or something if someone invites me, but like I don't go buy alcohol at the store or even seek it out.
Yeah.
And it's not because I think it's bad or there's anything wrong with it. It's just like, I'm not good at that. Just like, I'm not good at bong rips. I'm way better at just like smoking hash and drinking coffee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm pretty good at. So, but yeah, like, fuck, I'm warming this up for you, by the way. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, you're good, man.
I do that constantly. It's part of my personality, but I'm aware of it.
I'm an interrupter sometimes too.
But yeah, I'm very excited to see if the Venturi pump works, because then it's going to give me so much hope, because I'm going to be like, dude, this is crazy. Like, because if it works, it's going to look nuts, dude. How milked up the bong will get. Like,
oh, I can't even imagine. And my thing is, it'll be crazy to see how fast it like shoots up the bong. If it goes up really fast,
it's going to be instant, dude. It's going to be instant. It's going to be like, it's going to be in one second. It's going to be like that. It's going to be the smoke will be hitting me. And we're going to put the fucking hash on the nail hot, dude. It's going to be milked. That's why I have the shower head 25 foot up for the, you know, to cool, really cool it down before it hits me, dude. Mm-hmm. So we can go on there like aggressively.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I want a shovel with hash on it.
I was like, what?
I want a shovel with hash on it. Dude, well, I have a big enough, the nail I have is huge. That one nail is massive. You can just drop a huge glob right into the top of it.
That would be
with vacuum assist. They'll be ripping it.
Yeah,
we're gonna test it today. After the pod. Before I have to run an errand, I'm gonna get too stoned. Hopefully on the Venturi pump system.
I'm so excited,
dude. I'm learning so much shit, dude. Yeah, you will be for Monday if it works.
Well, yeah,
like you will be.
Anytime I miss even like a single part of the 30 footer at this point, though, I'm like, damn, dude, it's happening. Yeah,
dude, there's always
that's why it's so exciting for you to start sharing more and more of it, because anytime anyone gets a glimpse into these projects you do, it's so freaking exciting, you know? So
and
for people to
I
be able to see more. Like how you weld stuff together and like what it looks like to move this shit around the shop and stuff like that.
It's for sure.
So exciting.
I definitely want to share it more too, because I feel like we've done so much here where it's like, I've seen people like share something that like is, you know, not, it's like pretty achievable within the cannabis space as far as like a bong or a thing or whatever. And I'm like, damn, I spend most of the time just doing the thing and not even thinking about so much sharing. I just want to do it so bad. It's like, but that's how I know that like I'm doing it, because I love it. Now I just need to find like homies like you that are down to like help me capture it, because I'm so in the moment usually that like I even like sometimes we forget to hit record, bro. When we did the tree, we built a tree. I thought I had two cameras rolling. I thought they were both time lapsing it, and we didn't hit record on either one.
Oh,
and we
built,
we turned the 13-foot bong into a Christmas tree and never got the time lapse, and that's all I wanted.
Damn.
And I'm like, damn, like
that's
that was
like the whole goal.
That, and then like I had some of my favorite comedians and podcasters here visiting, and I forgot to record any content with them, and that's what they do. And like all, like I had my guys here, and I was like, why didn't I tell any of them to like record with my camera? Like, there's just been opportunities missed, and like I don't want to keep doing that. Like, I want to be able to share how much cool stuff is happening here, because this is all temporary, dude. These are all moments. This is not forever. Like, life keeps changing. We get older. Like, just what it is. So like, while we're doing this like really crazy shit, I want to be able to share it.
Absolutely.
So we're at 5:52, but honestly, I like to sit longer than this, Jack. It's up to you. I didn't overheat it because we are doing the podcast, so I didn't go crazy. Like,
I'll go in a little early because I want to do a bigger dab here.
Yeah, you should be golden right there, honestly. But
I got some C137 from Sunshine here, guys. This is their 90U. Sunshine's like my favorite like budget rosin lately here in Colorado.
Oh, see, that thing just grabs the terps and just holds in. It holds so much heat.
Such a fun dab.
And that piece is so rumbly. With the buttery spinner in there.
It's like so effortless, though.
That's why this shit's so fun, dude. Like, if you're actually making shit that, like, you enjoy and that, like, and from the perspective of someone who likes function and smoking, like, actually shreds. I got high water level right down now because Mike loaded up. Usually I rock it down a little lower than that because this one has that really, like, narrow top part, which it's different than the ones we sell. This one was a sample one, but it shreds. It's my favorite one because the rumble on it.
Yeah. I'm just going to come in with a little bit.
So look at the pivot real quick.
Do it.
While you're cleaning that up.
Evan has updated his design of the pivot RBR just a little bit. He was telling me about it earlier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, really all I did was I added like one extra cup for the ones that I'm sending out. So I mean, I don't know if there's hash in here yet. A little bit, but I'll put some fresh stuff in there. So I put an extra cut on the little part that clips in. So a little bit more airflow. And they're deeper cuts too, and they're a little fatter. So just a little bit higher airflow. I think that that works a little bit better. Regardless, it's restricted because it's a pivot and because like all the internal parts of this are really small. So it has like a nice, like, you know, restriction to it. It's not just like airy. But it needed, I think that the little bit more airflow just made it like the vortex way more aggressive. Because there's a higher water pressure pumping, which then you're using more of the mechanics of the shape and it being banked into the wall there. So actually, it's not just being forced to spin from gravity, but there's also the air pressure is actually pushing it. So because there's higher airflow. So that, and then I made the perk a hair smaller on the upper part just so that more water can splash in there a little easier. So that more water flows into the drain as well.
Yeah.
So when you put it side by side with the one that was the sample one, you can't even tell, but I made those couple adjustments because like anything, you smoke it for a while and you go, okay, like if I did this and this, I think it would be that much better. I like to just, while I'm filling it up, just set it there.
Cause
it's one of those like weird things that, quality tests. This is usually, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I didn't, you know what? I'll tell you one thing.
There you go.
That's not usually, I just said it there. It's not supposed to, I'm not saying that people should do that, but that's what I do. I always just say, again, quality test. But this is what I like to do. You know, I'll throw it at the table 10 times, Jack. This is the real shit, dude. This is mine, too. Don't worry. I'll see what it does. So this is a stand I grabbed off. Oh, hot knife, yeah.
Got you.
This one has a little bit smaller top than the ones that I usually set them. Let's see, it just doesn't want. I'm fine with that. Put a little more water in that.
The first time it was my fault. The last two times were not my fault.
So, well, the stand is made for the pivot.
Yeah.
So the pivot holds in there, so you can
that
hit like
that guy's not going anywhere.
So you can hit it like a normal rig. But when I'm out in the studio seshing this thing all day and at home, I like to set it right fucking there. But again, it doesn't want to. It just doesn't want to.
To be real, though, of all the pieces you make, the pivot one should probably be the most durable. So
yeah, it's pretty funny, dude. Like
that thing looks really solid.
It's a little tank, dude. It's well, the Perks weld at the top and the bottom. Like, yeah, like it doesn't need to
I don't see any. There's like no parts of that that look fragile.
Well, I did it like that so for this reason. So if you decide that you're having a bad day and you just throw it at the wall, you know, it's fine, dude. No, don't throw it at the wall. Don't throw it at the wall. But that was fun, dude. Honestly, like that's the best when people come visit the shop and I'll drop one of the rigs or something and everyone's like, oh shit. And like, it just like things are just bouncing around and fine. I'm like, it's quality test. That's all it is. Like I just heard me say quality test 100 times over the last couple of years. I drop shit all the time. It's just quality test. That's all it was. It was all part of the plan. I just want to make sure, you know, real life shit. Does it work?
We are stoners.
I'm stealing some of the water out of this because this has too much water in it anyways.
There you go.
Oh. Boom. Boom. Because I dumped it on the table. All right. Pivot. That's the only thing with where the fucking... Almost, you know what I could do? I could probably have like a little post on the bottom of the bubble in a later design or something so that you could set it like on a table or something.
So it'll stand up, right? Yeah, that'd be clever.
Okay. The Puffco ones, you just hold the button. Oh, dude, it's pissing on me, Jack.
Oh, fuck.
Jack, it's pissing on me.
Every time we sit at this table, dude. Evan ends up with water on his pants.
Yeah, dude. It's this table, bro.
Part of the theme, I guess.
This is hilarious. But this is important, dude. People need to understand that these are little tiny rigs. They can take a spill, and they can do a little spill, too.
You got a drop of water on there. Yoink.
Does this not get hot?
It should. I think your dad might try it. Keep trying.
Do I hold it?
Press and hold it. Yeah, you gotta hold it.
Okay, the other...
You're used to the Dr. Dabber one. That's exactly, so funny. That's the only hot knife he has is the Dr. Dabber drop.
Yeah, well, I have those too, just like, they're dead.
Mm.
I gotta charge them.
Brother.
I gotta charge them.
That's why I'm here. I'm the charging guy. No, Evan had extra 3D XL atomizers for the Puffco, but he couldn't get them working. And turns out they just needed a firmware update. Go figure.
Yeah, dude, that's so simple.
We got them updated, upgraded.
All right. So with anything with one of these internal perks, like any of these, even the Puffcos that come stock with your Puffco Peak Pro, you don't want to overfill it with water because then the water can go back down the other way.
Correct.
So that's one thing. These are super tiny pieces. I like to have the water level just like below this like little internal kind of like cuts inside there. Mm-hmm. I bet most people are going to rock it in just the foot. I like to rock more water because like, I don't know. I like the higher water level, but I was running it a little too close there because when I dropped it and tilted it like this, you tilt it a little bit. And if it's a high water level, go in there and it can pull down. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing too. Like this is a water top. So you have to be aware of a couple of things like that. I've yet to have it drain into the pivot. I haven't done that. I don't know if it creates some sort of pressure when it's clipped on there that it doesn't want to go down when it's leaned as much, but when I had it off the pivot right there, when I was putting hash in it and I tilted it, it just went out on my pants. It was the first time for everything. And honestly, it's great that it happens during the pod. It's a learning experience.
Yeah.
That way, if it happens to anyone else, or they can avoid it happening. Honestly, the thing is, I would like them to avoid that happening to them, you know, ideally.
Yeah, don't blow into your pivot RBR.
Yeah.
After you're done.
Any of these electronic rigs, you have to be careful. Like if you run low water level, you'll be okay probably. But like if you run kind of high water levels like me, you have to be a little bit more cautious with.
Yeah, so that's how I cracked my gold 3D XL from my Puffco. Is I have this top for it that lets me do like whips off of it, and so I had one going into a piece of glass, and we pulled some of the water out of the glass into the Puffco atomizer, and it cracked.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it was crazy. It still worked, though. It still works. So shout out to Puffco. They're durable, man. They can take a beating compared to how they used to be.
I've smoked so much hash through my Green Pro at home. Like, yeah, that's like our main one, me and my wife. Yeah, dude. It's like,
yeah, I'd be curious to see what your dab count is on that thing.
How do you tell?
Oh, you got to connect to the app. I wonder if you've ever connected yours.
I've never connected anyone to the app.
Yeah, because I had to name.
It'll tell you if you've never connected it.
Yeah, you'll have to name them.
It'll tell previous dabs, though. It'll be like.
Oh, yeah, it'll tell you. Yeah, so we can connect it.
So it's still counting them even if I'm not logged into an app?
It should be. I think so.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, because.
I don't want to know.
Dude, the black and white Peak Pros you have, they have both have less than 100 sessions. I think one was like 58, the other one was like 25.
I don't use those ones. Those are for just photos, yeah, usually.
Or like the Terp Saber, probably.
The Terp Saber exclusively. Yeah, the green one, though, dude. The green one is fucking been used and abused, dude.
Yeah, that's how mine was. Mine was at like 6,000 dabs in 6 months, I think.
That's beautiful.
Before I bricked it a month ago, and then they sent me a new one under warranty.
So, Jack, how'd you get your start in streaming and doing stuff like that?
Start. I mean, I was just one of those kids that like always liked messing around with a video camera. So, you know, it started as like YouTube videos in high school. My first YouTube videos were probably like AMVs, which are anime music videos. So I would download like anime episodes and then edit them with music.
Sick. I love that type of thing. I watch lo-fi shit like that all the time back then.
So that was like when I was in middle school. And then like high school era, I got into like Call of Duty montages and that sort of stuff. And that led me towards streaming. I started streaming probably like at the end of high school, which was probably like 2011, 2012. Was probably when I first got into like live streaming.
That's sick, dude.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things where it's always been a goal to be able to, like, pursue it as a career, ideally. But it, you know, it's something I just enjoy doing. So I've been doing it in all sorts of different forms.
Most creative stuff, to pursue it in a career way, you have to love it. Because the career will almost, like, happen when you least expect it. Most of the time, it pushes you to the limit where you're like, what am I doing? Fucking A, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You're trying to pursue it, it's hard. Things that are abstract, things that are creative, they're hard to convince people their value. And then, you know, also your own value, too. And
The whole, easy. Like, YouTube and streaming thing has been interesting, too, because it was like, it feels like that's what everyone wants to do now, though, too. So it's like, it's a different path, but it's also the path that a lot of people want.
I just want to share this shit. It's so crazy. I've been watching like cannabis YouTube stuff since like back in the day, and it's just like back then none of those people were making money, dude. Like CCC and them, they were getting like hooked up on like hash and glass and stuff and like in real life stuff and like things to try and sample. But as far as like making money, that was like all love. I feel like those guys were doing it. It was just like passion for like
the hash and the plant. And,
And it's like nowadays I see these YouTubers, because back then this wasn't a thing. You see these YouTubers that are making like hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And like back in 2007, 8, 9, 10, that like was not even, that wasn't even a possibility. It was just like YouTube was like public access. It was like, here's some videos we made. Check it out, bro. Like now it's like, or like people are like, ooh, I got this like a thing on YouTube, and it's like whoa, it's like legit, it's like Netflix almost. Like once you get it to that point where it's like sponsored by YouTube and all that kind of stuff, it's just crazy how big the platform has gotten.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things about like cannabis content is, I feel like lots of people are aware of the different barriers you face as a cannabis content creator. Like you don't get ad revenue, and you get like censored a lot. So I feel like there's not that many people that like do it well or like take it seriously.
No, because they can't make money from it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, why would I do that when I can make tech videos and have great CPM whatever, and like
exactly. You know. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day actually, because when I'm like, we're talking about making this 30-footer video and like I'm building this whole piece and I've spent all these days and hours and actual real money on it, like from all the investment and the time and the material to like renting like an expensive lift and then all the things risking, and like people do videos like this all the time on YouTube, not with bongs, but with other things. They'll rent a lift, they'll drop a bowling ball from 100 feet up onto a glass table, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, like they take the risk, they invest the money in the lift, they do the things, but they know they're going to be able to get paid from it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing these videos knowing that it probably won't even get seen by enough people because it's like, you know, someone ripping a bong. But honestly, what I found is if the bong's big enough, the algorithm doesn't identify it as paraphernalia or doing anything wrong. It's structural. So, but either way, and I was thinking about the 30-foot video. I'm like, I think that makes it way more special because it's like, it's fucking cool. It's like, oh, like we're making this because we actually want to make it. Like,
yeah,
if there is any monetary or like money to gain, it's not from the video itself. It's because people are like stoked on how fun or funny or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they want to buy a piece or something. Like, I was thinking about like, it's so crazy. Like, most of these YouTubers or people that do stuff like that, that make content, they make the video to make money, to make more content.
Yeah.
I make glass to make the money, to make the piece, so that I can make the video to make the content. Like, I'm making...
To make more glass.
Yeah, to make more glass.
But it's like... Yeah. It's not, like, it's, for you, the result and the thing that gets you the result are almost equally important, you know?
Exactly.
Like making the stuff that makes you the money, but also making the stuff that's fun.
Exactly. And the stuff that gets people to actually notice us so that like we're not forgotten about and like the fray of like all this overload of like stimulate like information and everything people have access to nowadays. Like there's so much. There's so many things to like. There's so many things to collect.
Yeah.
There's so many things to fall in love with that it's not that oftentimes people don't like, I look at other artists and it's like, oh, people don't like hate your art or they didn't like, people like don't not like what you're doing. It's just like things change or people forget and then they find a new shiny thing they're looking at and they told, it's not that they don't like you. They just found something else and it's just what it is because it's a crazy time right now for artists on social media trying to.
The attention economy. Not even
cannabis, just normal people. Just people that are trying to do pottery or like paintings. Like it's like almost like the internet doesn't give a fuck anymore. Like people, it's like weird. It's
It's a crazy time, especially with AI shit, dude. Like with all those people you mentioned, you know, like they have to like make these videos in order to get attention. They have to like go digital, but then they have like, you know, it's like they're on the analog side of things. They're used to not having to be super digital, but they have to go digital to be relevant. And then you have like the AI side of things. It's like approaching from the forefront and it's like, it's collapsing in.
Oh yeah. This has happened so many times, even in recent history. I think like when the typewriter was invented, like people who would write things by hand, they were like, oh my gosh, that's like, how will you even know who wrote the letter? That's going to be like the devil. Like the typewriter, people were terrified of the typewriter.
Dude, that's such an interesting point. I've never heard anyone talk about that.
Like people like, were so scared of it. They were like, how will we know who wrote that note? Like that could be anyone.
That's wild.
This is terrifying. This is like people, this is the devil. Like
someone will give me a letter and they will say it was from Heather, but it was actually
like,
from Sam.
It could be anyone. Like, and then the typewriter was kind of like the beginning of like, not the beginning, but it was one of those earlier.
It's in
like,
a revolution.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing, like revolution, for sure.
In like songs we grew up with from earlier before we were born, but like video killed the radio star. It's like once TV was around, people stopped sitting around the radio and listening to a broadcast for 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah,
they'd go watch the movie instead. They wanted images now. The sound and story wasn't enough for their imagination. They needed the images. Mm-hmm. Like this is gonna happen over and over again as technology progresses. There will be a group of people that are convinced that this is the way because it's the way we do it. And then the new thing comes along that is so alien, so abstract, and it completely shatters their way of life and how they function and think about things. And then now we're all used to TV and AI. And
I thought VR was going to be that. When VR first came out, like 2017, I was like, everybody's going to have a headset on by 2025.
I think that VR could get there, but...
Oh, it definitely could and will one day, but it's the way it gets adopted will be way different than what we
realize. Right now, the VR we're seeing is, like, one block to the actual inevitable, like, larger building that is augmented reality, VR, like, the psychedelics, everything will be tied into it. It'll be basically people won't experience VR in the way that, like, where you watch Ready Player One until mm-hmm. they can fully tap in. But in a way where they don't have to hurt their biological suit. Like, they don't have to, like, poke or prod themselves. Like, some way to take that frequency of that consciousness and be like, oh, like, okay. So, for example, like, you know, have you ever seen the movie, like, Interstellar or, mm-hmm. like, any of those movies where they go into deep space and on depending on the gravity of the planet, one day on that planet is maybe 20 years on another planet just because of time is different.
Time dilation. Yeah.
Well... It's almost like the same thing I'm trying to talk about, but I forgot my point. What was it I'm about to do?
We were talking about VR stuff.
Oh,
can
yeah.
Can I hit the pivot while you continue?
Definitely. I think my pivot's being funny. I did drop it earlier, and then it took me a minute to get it back on, but it's, like, not, like, it's melting the hash. Like,
oh, what the AF?
Like, and usually I clear it. Like, it burns all the way up, and I'll have to Q-tip it. Because I wasn't getting milky hits out of it like it was earlier.
Let's see what happens here. I'll investigate.
Yeah, either way. But that's why I think, like, VR and that stuff will actually be really good when people can basically tap into some sort of virtual world using the idea of time dilation and being able to.
You might have just put too big of a dab in this guy, honestly.
I think so.
That was a big ass dab I saw when you were loading it. I was like, it's not going off the knife. Yeah. What's wrong with this thing? I was like, dude, you have like a fucking.
Oh, I don't know. See, that's my wife's been saying too. Well, there. Now it's good.
I think you got like all the good terms out of that. Yeah. Here, give me that thing. I'm still gonna hit this shit. Fuck it. Oh. It just yelled at me. I think it might be too hot after that one.
Yeah. It buzzed like crazy like that for me too. I think there might be something going on with the actual.
You might have just thrown too big of a glob in here and you might have like drowned it a little bit.
That's okay. You know what? Well, you know, this is the thing. I love the electronic stuff, and I smoked that pivot for 24 hours straight, and it was super fun, but I definitely didn't put that much hash in there, but I thought we were going to pass it back and forth, and then it got mad at me, and then I was like, all right, and I tried to hit it again, and I was like, why isn't it melting the hash? What's happening? But either way, I'm going to take a dab off this.
Oh, you know what we do need for pivots? I almost thought Q-tips. About... Yep. I almost had some on hand, and I was like, no, we don't need those things.
Trying to use it all up, so that way it's, like, cleaned out, and put, like, an appropriate-sized dab in it.
Power through the hash.
But yeah, man, again, just real quick to finish up, I think that like VR and that stuff is going to be way more along the lines of Ready Player One once people can like fully tap into it, play with the idea of time dilation. Maybe they go into that VR world for, you know, a couple hours, but to them it feels like they've been there for a couple weeks, and then they come out of it and they've only been in there for as long as a movie, you know. Like,
yeah,
that's how you take someone that only lives 70 years and you make them live 500, is they live separate time dilation experiences each year of their life, this experience longer. That's like the idea. Did you ever, back in like 2017, 2016, when that early, like all the VR stuff and like Meta and Facebook back then, like basically invested a ton of money into like this virtual world. Like they wanted to make their own metaverse, right?
Yeah.
Well, the early thing with metaverse, from what I understood, was is their idea and how they were selling it to investors was for more of end of life and elderly care.
Oh my.
So basically, so if someone was like, oh, you're
dystopian as fuck.
Dude, they're like, oh, your mom has like 1 week to live. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, we're going to put her in this VR world. 1 week will feel like 10 years to her, and you guys can visit her, and she can take her time saying goodbye to everyone. She can, like, you know, see, like, you know, have these experiences she couldn't have. Or she'll go live in a nursing home in VR where she's not as in much pain. Like, her consciousness can live comfortably and happy, and her body can be all hooked up. And so it was like,
yeah, well, I mean,
it was a quality, it was, they were thinking about, I think, a quality of life VR for like elderly and end of yeah. life people, like, you know, whatever. But when that shit would be crazy though, like,
I mean, from that perspective, like, even just the way with the technology we have now, I think that would be super valuable for elderly people that are in homes, like,
or for knowledge or closure for people, like, to get like, oh, I need to like, like, or someone that has, like, maybe some sort of, like, they can't talk because they've had a brain injury, but you're able to put them in a VR space and they're able to communicate in there in some way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, there's the most recent VR headsets have eye tracking, and that's yeah. basically the technology that those people use. Like, that's one of the last resorts for communication is ocular movement. But, yeah, like I was saying, like, even just, like, you give VR headsets to old people right now, you know, people that they wish they could have seen that are halfway across the country. Yeah. You know, you, if they also have a VR headset, then they can have that experience of like getting to hang out with them. 100%. Like there's, it's one thing for, to have a phone call or to FaceTime.
Yeah.
But when you get into VR, you start being able to see things like physical, you can see people's like
expressions,
yeah, like their like body language,
yeah,
to some extent.
I think that's originally what like Facebook was selling to people publicly, though. They're like, we want you to be able to communicate better and like see grandma and like, these things. And yeah,
it's just interesting how it like didn't really work out how they wanted it to.
Well, I think that it will. I just think it's one of those things where it's like people, like for me, like I'm like, oh, sounds cool. I'm like, oh, I gotta buy like the headset and this and that and all these things. And like, it just seemed like I was like, I'll buy it when the next generation comes out. And I think too many people were like that, where they're like, I'll wait till like
we get it's like refined, simple and, or like, better.
Not enough people invest into it for them to keep refining it, basically.
Well,
like, or at least
I mean, there's still so much more money. They've made really good devices. Like the stuff that's out right now is really solid. And then also, you would think like something like the pandemic, like 2020, would be a huge catalyst for people to adopt shit like that. So the fact that like not everybody has a VR headset after everybody was trapped inside, like that's a pretty good indicator that it's probably going to take way longer than we think.
Well, I think all of it's going to be like part of the singularity, dude. It's going to be all part of that, like whenever the AI thing happens, like the real AI thing, not this like what we're doing right now that seems like kind of like a costume of what AI could be. It's not real. Like it's,
we're like finding individual puzzle pieces of AI and we have to assemble the whole,
when the first real quantum computer gets turned on and nothing is encrypted anymore. I'm talking like when the
whole like qubit thing seems to be accelerating pretty rapidly with the amount of qubits they're able to put on a thing. I don't know how to intelligently talk about it.
Yeah, but when it seems like talk about it, I understand it too.
Like, oh, yeah, and it seems like it's moving really fast right now.
Sense. Yeah,
like, and there's like the crazy thing is like it used to seem like it was just like Microsoft and maybe like one or two other companies. Now it seems like it's like five or six different companies just in America, and then you have companies like in China and Russia that are also pursuing this stuff, and it's this huge.
A lot of these,
like,
other countries have been recovering,
they're racing
from
each other, so it's going to accelerate and accelerate and accelerate.
Well, now it is, because you got to think historically, like even in the last like 100 years, like the few countries you just named, they've been dealing with like lots of stressful stuff, like world wars and famine and poverty and trying to, you know, like America's been able to.
Juicy Dan. More. Fuck yeah.
Well, you got to think about China, where they were.
That thing's a 10 mil, huh?
Yeah.
I thought it, for some reason, I thought it might be smaller.
China's had legendary growth. My point is there wasn't very many other players back when Microsoft and all them got going. Now there's other countries involved that can do crazy shit. Like, China, dude, seems like it's in the future. Like, like I might be someone who's just, like, maybe getting tricked by propaganda or something, but seems like the level of technology and abundance of it over there is pretty wild, at least in the major cities. I'm sure it's different when you go out to rural areas, but same with America. When you go to rural America, it's very different than going to downtown, like, Manhattan.
Totally.
So, I mean, yeah, this is just what it is.
I think I'm going to load up the pivot dab here. I got some papaya petrol from Blazer Bros. This shit is amazing.
Oh, yeah, I'll grab something real quick while you're loading that up, because I want to test something. I put an extra cut in this pivot this morning, and I want to see if that extra cut changed something.
Mind grabbing a couple Q-tips while you're out there as well? Thank you. So, yeah, guys, papaya petrol going in the pivot here. This stuff is fucking incredible. Papaya is one of my favorite strains, so I'm always on the hunt for any papaya cross. This is definitely one of my favorites. Ooh, yeah. All right.
Back.
Did you get the older one?
Yeah, because I took the one that I put like less cuts in that's more restricted. I want to see something. because I did an extra cut this morning. I was taking rips on it, and it was awesome. I was like, hell yeah, the airflow, look at the function, the tornado, shredding even harder. But now I'm like, does that restriction make it milk harder, though? You know? So, this is a good test.
Dude, I can do side-by-side for you. I can do a rip on one and then swap to the other one.
Yeah.
If you want.
Just gotta put some water in this one.
Sick.
Size experiments here, people.
Yeah, as far as like my experience with streaming and stuff, I feel like I should go on a little more because it sounds like I just like got out of high school and was like, yeah, that's awesome. I got to help out with a TV show for the History Channel for a little bit. I went to Las Vegas for 2 weeks. And you know who Henry Rollins is?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to like hang out with him. I was working on his TV show for the History Channel.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I got to like drive him around for like
a week. He seems like one of the nicest people ever. Is that
he was a super cool guy.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a very genuine dude.
Dude, most of those dudes that are in old hardcore bands, dude, they're just nice. It seemed like when you're just like screaming and getting aggressive, dude, on stage. Obviously pretty chill off stage usually, I feel like.
Well, no, he's gone through like a lot of changes in his life. I feel like back then he'd very openly admit that he was like a loose cannon type.
Okay.
He'd fuck some people up.
Okay, yeah. He's just all grown up. The guy, the Henry Rollins I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The grown up version.
Yeah. He's a super cool guy. But yeah, so like I had that experience and I was in college at the time. And that when I had that experience, all the people that I worked with, they were like, dude, you just got to like get into the industry, like just do it. And so then I was kind of like, fuck college. And I also, the last class I took in college was an improv class. And I was like, fucking improv is fun. Like, I really loved that. So then I moved to Chicago for 2 years. And then I studied improv and like did a lot of like film stuff out there.
Oh, that's super cool. So was that a specific improv school or program in Chicago?
Yeah, I did go to IO, Improv Olympic.
Nice.
I took a few classes there. Do you want me to swap to the other one at some point? Or just do two separate devs?
The two separate devs. That's definitely milking, so. That one's just way more restricted, but still shredding. But that's all I know, because these are my two sample ones. Because I was telling you earlier, I'm not selling this one because the Maria's smaller than I want them. I like the bigger Maria, it's a better splash guard. But I'm picky, that's why, you know. Make a few samples and then pick my favorite parts of them and make the best finished version. Yeah, dude, that one was milking.
Yeah, this is super sensitive.
I think what's going on is either the extra cut or I need to do like a little bit of finished cold working on this because it's still raw on the bottom.
That's the newer one?
Yeah, I made
Let
this.
Let me rip that one too because I feel like you just might have just done too big of a dab. Also.
I made this morning. Like before you got here is like a sample because I wanted to try the little bit smaller internal, but I think it's either the bigger hole is too much airflow or
you tip me por favor
or the fitting needs to be finished lap down. It's a little bit too fat.
Okay,
but like I said, I was ripping it earlier and I was so stoked on it, but then I didn't get a good milky hit on that one.
To be our best scientists here, I'm going to try to load the exact same size dab with the exact same.
Here, I'll hold this for you while you do that do that funky shit. I also got to put water in this. I keep just dropping it on the table because it's a fucking...
But yeah, while I was studying improv in Chicago, the improv theater, they started like their own YouTube channel where they would take the improv groups and pair them up with like producers and editors, like a production team basically, and then they would all like make a sketch video each month and then they would all premiere the videos. So I was like a big part of that and that was a lot of fun.
Sick.
And then I ended up moving back to Colorado mostly because I started getting like super into weed.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I really like enjoy being a regular cannabis consumer. I kind of started taking on the persona of a pothead. Like,
that's why I moved here too from New York, because like my persona didn't fit in where I was living. Like, yeah. I was like, oh,
especially
like,
at the time, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta go a place where like weed's normal.
Yeah, I want to do a place where I can do this more safely, more openly,
Sound there for you.
Oh yeah, go for it. And yeah, so I moved back home to Colorado, and then shortly after moving back here to Colorado, I saw an ad on Craigslist from some dude that was trying to make a streaming house here in Colorado Springs. So long story short, I ended up partnering up with that dude just through a Craigslist post, and he and I built this business called Down to Quest over like 5 years. That was where I like actually was able to turn like my whole streaming passion into a bit of a career, somewhat successfully for like a few years. We were partnered with Twitch and Dr. Dabber and all sorts of cool
stuff. Oh yeah, dude.
Just like smoking weed as a team basically and like getting high. Eventually we had our stream live 24/7. We were live 24/7 for like 3 years straight. And we would just like, it was basically like just a team of streamers. At one point we had like 7 different people streaming, and it would just be like 6 hour shifts just rotating out. But that's kind of where I like really became what I believe to be like an expert at streaming.
Oh yeah, there's probably so much on the fly you have to do if you're trying to maintain a 24-hour stream, like fixing things or
just lots of different tools and tricks. And I'm just like you with streaming. One of my favorite things is just to like try new things and like, like figure out what cool kind of new trick or thing I can implement into the stream to like make things more entertaining or more fun or more convenient for the streamers and all sorts of stuff like that.
So I just try to think of the silliest thing I can do, and now I'm trying to find a way to share the silliest things with people.
Yeah, what's going on with this one?
I think I didn't finish cold working it because I didn't finish lapping it because I wanted to have it for the episode to finish it. It'd have to go in the kiln. So probably just didn't, does it feel more restricted or less restricted?
More.
See, yeah, that doesn't make sense. That's weird. Oh, I know what I didn't do. This one. Okay. So this one's cut around the bottom edge too, giving it this little lip. I forgot to take that to the saw and cut after I do the lap. So I'll show you. I'll show you exactly what it is.
I got it. I like rotated it.
Oh, well, is the cut exposed on the back here now? Is that why when you fold it down? Is there a cut exposed?
Yep.
So, yeah. Here, let me see this bad boy. It just died anyway.
Did it?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So, yeah, real quick, I'll show you. So, yeah, see the lip right there?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put the lip in there. I'm supposed to take that. I use. Take it to my saw, and I basically put a little line there that sands away so there's a lip, and I spaced. I was in a rush this morning to do the podcast, though, and when I hit it, I must have hit it like this with this back cut.
Exposed
a little bit, like forward a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Because if that back cut was exposed, then yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's
crazy.
That's the thing with like fittings and stuff, though. If you don't finish the whole process, you might miss a step.
It's crazy how just that small little cut completely. There's so many
changes that one little cut, because it's at like little fitting. But see, that's like why you can see the one that's finished shredding. The one that is newer that I forgot to finish the cut on worked great for me, but it wasn't fully locked into the pivot. It was.
Yeah, probably. But that means it'll work even better, though,
once it has the finished cut, because it actually does have the bigger cuts, but those bigger cuts aren't exposed because the finished cut on the inside.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm going to do it after the podcast. I'm going to finish cutting that.
No worries.
All right. We'll take one final dab here, folks, and then we're gonna get back to all the shit we were getting into today. Kind of a hashy episode. Lots of smoking pipes, talking about stuff and things. Flew by, honestly, though. I can't even believe it. Aja just showed me the time. I was like, what the fuck, already?
Yeah, what time is it?
My wife's calling me, which means she already thinks the podcast is over. Yeah, well, we started a little later, too.
Yeah, we started.
It took
a while
to get set up because that whole Venturi pump situation I was running into. But either way, I learned a lot today. And
me, too. I always learn a lot whenever I'm here.
Yeah. Take one last dab on this, though. I lowered the water level. Now I can get aggressive with it.
Fuck yeah.
It was a little bit more full than normal.
Rip it.
our big clear pre-sale coming up, though, April 12th. That's going to be a Friday. So it's not a Sunday sale. It's going to be like a Friday afternoon. We do this like once or twice a year. Usually do it in April and in November. We open up our entire catalog along with new designs that you see each year. We'll usually have a few new things that are only in that sale. So they're like limited, but they're all clear pieces. So they're going to be like this. So you can see all that function and everything going on. But you get the format of the more advanced, like techie pieces, but also have our simpler stuff on there too, like our base RBRs, all of our different peak tops, pivot top. Some of the new stuff I'm adding is, if you remember our previous Sunday sale where we had the full crushed opal dual drain 10 mil bloop RBR, I'm going to be doing those in full clear format, so can get all that function in a more affordable version, because those things shred and I've had a lot of people ask for them, so we're going to do that.
And you're doing a pre-sale of it.
Yep, that way it's like
so cool.
That way they're like made to order, basically. Like,
yeah.
Like I'm making it for the people that like want them. The pre-sales work a lot better for like the more technical pieces like that, because you never know, like some months like collectors are looking for the micro and nano shit, and then other months they want the big crazy shit, and it's easier for me to maintain that like clear communication with collectors if we just do the pre-sales on stuff, and then the full color stuff I can go crazy on with whatever, but like the clear stuff I'm like, what do you guys like want to see for function? So yeah. Here I'll open the catalog. We only do it twice a year, but I have a lot of collectors that wait for these pre-sales because they only like collecting the clear stuff I make. They don't even buy the color.
Yeah.
And, this is the sale where people usually, for the price of like a full color piece, you can get like two or three clear pieces usually.
It's really, really dope how you do the pre-sales. I think it's fucking awesome because then people get whatever they want, you know?
There's exactly what they want.
Oh, I gotta buy this one fast or someone else will get it. Or
it's like, not like a... Like that. It's literally, you're not fighting for it.
Yeah, anyone gets anything they want.
And we close after like 24 hours usually, just because like sometimes like in the past we closed it quicker just because I didn't have a big enough space with the ability to take on a bunch of orders.
Yeah.
But now like with this space, with like the team, like everyone helping, like we're able to actually usually like I think last year we closed it after 20 or maybe 18 hours. But we're going to try and keep it open for the full 24 as long as, you know, if it's, you know, if people are going crazy, I'll let everyone know. Like, we're going to close this soon because this is getting wild. Or what we usually do is it's a longer wait. It's like, yeah, you can scoop this piece, but instead of the 3 week, the 2 to 3 week turnaround, now it's like 4 weeks because you bought later in the sale.
Yeah.
Like, there's different windows for shipping, basically.
Okay, nice. That's smart.
Depending on when you purchased.
Yeah.
If you purchased right in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be super smart to just have like pre-sale window one. Pre-sale
we do. Kes does that. Does that. Brilliant. Yeah.
She's so smart.
We do that already, but still, even then, some people, like, I'm one of those people, like, I don't even read directions for things, but a lot of people don't read, like, all the different emails she's sending with, like, the details on shipping and this and that, and they're just like, is it on its way? And it's like, oh, Ivan's gonna make it. It's a pre-sale.
Yeah.
But, yeah, people are usually really chill. They're just excited, which makes me excited, and I don't want to let them down, so I get that, dude. Like, to me, if someone's hitting us up, it's just because they're stoked. They're, like, really excited. And they're like, oh, when's it coming? Yeah, want to smoke my rig? I get it, dude. I'm the same way. Like, when I come in here in the morning, if I've been working on a piece for, like, a week, and I'm like, I'm taking it out of the kiln this morning, I get to try it. Like, it's so exciting. I feel like a kid on Christmas. Like,
are there any pieces that you don't smoke that you make?
As far as
the cool colored ones.
Like, if I'm making a full Sunday sale, I won't smoke everything on the Sunday sale. I'll smoke, like, one of each like group. Like, if there's like 6 to 10 mil mini doubles, I'll smoke one of them. If there's like, I'll pick one of each style, but I'm not gonna smoke every piece in the drop. No.
Okay.
I function test all of them when I cut the mouthpieces open and lap them, and then like I'm cleaning them with water. I'm function testing them in that moment.
Gotcha.
Then I dry them out again. Then they go back in the kiln to be warm back up, so I can polish the mouthpieces and anneal them all the way, and then they're done.
Damn.
And then they're fresh, like no one's ever smoked them if I did smoke them. So when I'm smoking a lot of these too, like, that's before it goes through its finished process of going through another 1,000-degree kiln cycle and also being cleaned with, like, you know, 99% alcohol and all these things.
Crazy.
So there's nothing. It's a brand new piece when it comes out of the kiln.
Yeah.
At least from, like, a measurable way. There's nothing.
That makes sense, of course.
It's all cooked off. Oh, let's move this shit.
Send it.
Yep. Little temp, but I'm happy with it.
It's milking.
Tastes great. It's perfect. Oh man. All right, y'all. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter at bmsclass.com. That way you can get email updates about our drops and everything we got going on. Cass also in those newsletters puts info about the podcast, the Patreon, and when we're doing lives and everything we got going on right there. We also have a calendar on the website, facts and questions page, with all the prices on everything we make and do here. And we're going to try and share more and more of the process and how things are made and more fun projects like the 30-foot bong. So thank you so much for watching. And yeah, I'm going to go see if this Venturi pump worked that I made this morning. Jack, if you want to plug your Instagrams, your Twitch stream, any of your stuff, please do that.
I want to plug our YouTube channel. Make sure you guys subscribe and turn on the bell notification here on YouTube, because that's where we've been doing the live streams. We're also going to be getting the Twitch stream going for Bear Mountain Studios. It's going to be exact same name, just Bear Mountain Studios over on Twitch. Make sure you go follow over there, guys. I go by Jack the Dab Lad on all platforms. You guys can find me wherever you like to hang out. Instagram, TikTok even. I've been posting some of Evan's stuff over on TikTok.
It's
and people
crazy
have been
how those
crazy
TikTok videos. I need to like look at some of that. That's nuts.
But, yeah, I do like weekly streams on Twitch. I'd say that's Twitch, YouTube, and all the different platforms, but that's the best place to hang out with me is like Sundays on Twitch. Come by and we'll do some dabs. But I'm gonna be streaming from over here a lot now too, though.
Yes,
I'm over
absolutely.
Here at least a few times a week now.
Yeah,
so
definitely
we're getting into a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, and Jack's been doing some cool shit, like following me around while I'm blowing glass and like seshing in between things. Like it's like way more like you can kind of see like what it is like day to day, or like how the workflow goes, or at least how things
if you guys
made.
Haven't caught the streams, they're getting dope every yeah. single time we go live. It's just getting better and better. Yeah. It's really fun.
All right, y'all, have a great day, and thanks so much. Yeah, thanks, Jack. Appreciate you, dude. Stoked to keep doing some stuff. All right, everybody, have a great day. Thank you.
Bye.